Welcome to the Ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision is bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrat Abiola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Start my message this morning from that point. Isaiah chapter 40. What is the Christmas story? Christmas story. I want to just stay in the next 10 minutes. I want to talk about it. What is the Christmas story? This season we can see light all over the place. I don't know if people do cards anymore, but by this time, the mailboxes would have been filled. But people do electronic, people send pleasantry. What is the Christmas story? Isaiah 40 gives us an insight. He said, comfort, yes, comfort my people. Say your God, say, speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that our warfare is ended and our iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all our sins. The double there, you can just oppose it with grace and mercy. So, Christmas story brought us grace and mercy, not judgment. So, there is the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He said, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight. This was prophecy. He read in the coming of the Lord Jesus. He said, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. He said, every valley, when we make the highway, when we make way for God, every high valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the flesh shall see it. He said, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice also said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountains of Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his hand shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and we walk before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lamb with his hands and carry them in his bosom. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hands, measured the heaven with span, and calculated the dust of the heart in a measure. Who weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who has directed the spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him. With whom did he take counsel? And he who instructed him, he taught him in the path of justice, who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding. Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket and are counted as the small dust of the scales. Look, he lifts up the heights as a very little thing, and Lebanon is sufficient to burn, nor is beast sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him, and less than nothing and worthless. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image, the goldsmith overspreads it with gold, And the silversmith cast silver shades. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the heart? It is he who sits above the circle of the heart, and its inhabitants are like grasshopper who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spread them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He made the judges of the heart useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stalk take root in the heart. When he will also blow on them, they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Who brings out their hosts by number? He calls them all by name. And by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Who do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the hands of the heart, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word in our hearts this morning, in Jesus' name. That summarizes the Christmas story for us. You know, Paul says something in 1 Timothy 4:13. He said, till I come, give attention to reading. So I know it's a pretty long verses of the scripture. And we just pick sometimes. We pick verse 31 when we are weak. We just say it. But you need to understand it in context. I said John 3:16 earlier on. So God fulfilled that scripture, and the Bible summarizes it for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 and 18, it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. And he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you know that a lot of people will find themselves in hell, and they will realize that it's not because they sin. Hear me well. People will go to hell because they rejected Jesus. And because they rejected Jesus, their nature, naturally and supernaturally, is to sin. Someone who rejects Jesus does not have any other nature. And that nature will give birth to sin. So the Christmas story, or the Christmas carol, or the Christmas message is for us to think about the gift of Jesus to mankind. God has given us Jesus. He is a gift with a lift. There is no way anyone can receive Jesus into their lives, and their lives, like we say in church, can ever remain the same again. For trouble, he gives us peace. For sin consciousness, he gives us righteousness consciousness. For what looks like blockage, he gave us access. The Bible even summarizes it. Paul had the basic understanding of this thing, being someone who perpetrated evil. He said, if God will not spare his only begotten son, but by giving him up for us all, he said, how much more shall he not through him freely giving us all things? Somewhere in 2 Corinthians, he said, for you know, so we have to know it. It's a grace. God, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that was given unto us. Even though he was rich, yet for our sake, he became poor, so that through his poverty, we may become rich. We only think about that. If care is not taken, we reduce it to money. Sickness is poverty. Not being able to figure life out is poverty of the mind. But the gift of Jesus came with a lift for us. The Christmas story, we need to emphasize it today. Have you ever felt, maybe not you, or have you ever seen people that felt that God is far away? A lot of people don't know. They've thought that God, I mean, when they look at the atmospheric heaven, their understanding is that God is somewhere there. Even when they pray consciously, they're both. But the Christmas story gives us an insight into something. One, God is for us. Now, that's not the end of the Christmas story. God is with us. That's another dimension to it. But you know, the one that really caught me well is that God is in us. You will call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In another place, he said, you will call his name Emmanuel, which literally means God with us. So some people may feel around us, maybe us, that God is far away even at this time. We need to tell them the Christmas story, that God is for them, God is with them, God is in them. Have you ever also meet people who says, it's as if God is silent. I don't understand how life is treating me. There are many things I'm going through. Some people have even gotten to a point where they ask that question, honestly ask the question, is God really with us in this life? Is he really interested? And I think you and I, as believers in Christ, we need to tell the story at this time that, look, people, God is for us. God is with us. God is in us. In Luke chapter 1, verses 26, let me see what I can read out of that. Luke chapter 1, from verse 26, you can put it down to 38. And read it in context when you get home. That's one of the ways to venerate over the Christmas story. I want to read verse 26 to 38, but I want to read verse 30. It said, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. So people may ask the question of abandonment at this time. And you know, there is just something we must cultivate as discipline as believers. Let's always look into what the Bible says. Anyone who have angelic visitation, you can check through the Bible. The first word that usually comes from the angel's mouth is what? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And we can put that as Christmas story at this time. So, three things the Christmas story does. Number one, it helps us to understand and put things of God in perspective. The Christmas story, which we are telling at this time, helps us to understand the things of God and put them in perspective. Let's read together a couple of three scriptures. Isaiah chapter 7. Number one thing is that it helps us to understand the things of God, so we can also put it in perspective for people. God is for us. God is with us. God is in us. It's a Christmas story that we must tell people. In Isaiah chapter 7, it's fragrant sound about it. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. These people were asking for a sign. And verse 14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And it was fulfilled later on. But let's look at this nature of God who is in us, or with us. In Isaiah chapter 9, he makes a description of this Emmanuel. Verse 6, he said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder." And look at his name, beyond Emmanuel. He says, "His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." He said, "Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom," he said, "he will order it, he will establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward and even forever." He said, "The zeal of the Lord house, Lord of hosts, will perform it." And let's see the manifestation of this Emmanuel in Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, he says, "There shall come forth," from verse 1, "a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root." He said, "This Emmanuel, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall judge by the sight of his eyes." In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, all these scriptures were fulfilled. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus making the proclamation when he got into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he was handed over that portion that I read from the book of Isaiah. In verse 18, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me," he rolled out his job description or mission on the heart. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord's favor." And the apostles, they bore witness to it. So in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, they were summarizing his life. They said, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So the Christmas story helps us to understand and put the things of God in perspective, so that we can tell the story well. And the story today is that God is for us, God is with us, and God is in us. Secondly, the Christmas story helps us to learn how to trust God, even when the circumstances of life are challenging and overwhelming. The Christmas story helps us to learn how to trust God, even when it seems the circumstances and the challenges of life are overwhelming. You know, the Christmas story actually started with an elderly couple called Elizabeth and Zacharias. At that time that they existed, which is the whole Testament, there was, the Bible scholars, they agreed that there was 400 silent years that they didn't have a revelation about God. But if you read Luke chapter 1 verse 6, this couple, they were walking with God and they were able to hear the voice of the Lord after 400 years. And this couple, before that time, they were without children. But the word of the Lord that they had was a word, I mean, in Isaiah that we just read, the Lord sent his word to Jacob, and that word light up a whole nation. The word of the Lord that they had, they knew that the time of consolation for Israel has come. So, Elizabeth, that name actually means God is my hope. God is my hope. God is my promise. God is my all in all. So, the Christmas story ran through people who were not significant in that sense. I'll read something to you shortly. Just an elderly couple somewhere. And then by them hearing that story, Elizabeth received strength to conceive. So she was 3 months or 6 months pregnant. I mean, at the 6 months. So she was 3 months pregnant ahead of Mary, the virgin. Because there was a supernatural interaction. The Bible says the womb, the baby in Mary's womb, at the mentioning of that thing, I mean, Elizabeth, Mary went to on a visitation to Elizabeth. The Bible says that the baby in her womb leaped for joy. I don't know what you have carried as dreams, as the promises of God. Today, the Bible says they are yes and amen for us in Christ Jesus. So the Christmas story helps us to understand that no matter what the delay looks like, no matter the overwhelming situation of life, we have a God who reigns and rules in the affairs of men. In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, he said, "For with this God, nothing shall be impossible." Verse 45 says, "There shall be a performance of the things spoken to her by the Lord." So the Christmas story helps us to learn how to trust God, even when the circumstances of life are challenging and overwhelming. I want you to listen to this carefully. The Christmas story is good news. Have you ever felt insignificant, unqualified, or overlooked by life? Please understand that those kind of people are the main characters of the Christmas story. Imagine you and I found out that God was about to come to the heart, and you knew he would be born into a human family. What kind of people would God choose to be his parents? I want you to just think about it a little bit. Maybe the answers we will get, a powerful religious family, right? If not them, probably a married couple with resources, special skills, a stack of resume of spiritual accomplishment. God is coming to the earth. But remember, the Christmas story is full of surprises. God didn't choose a wealthy, powerful married couple. Instead, he chose one of the last people you will ever expect. Mary was young, single, living in a small village. She had no power. She wasn't part of the aristocrats of their days. She doesn't have any influence. She was ordinary. But God chose her to do something extraordinary. Can I have an amen this morning? Because I know that God is rewriting people's story even at this time. That's why we need to tell this story. But a messenger from God tells Mary she's pregnant with the promised Savior. Even though she was a virgin, today we will read how Mary responds to discovering that surprising role in God's story. Mary said, "How can these things be? Seeing that I know no man, how can these things be?" And what was God's response? "The power of the Most High God will overshadow you." Whatever it is that looks so overwhelming around our lives, I believe that the Christmas story, as we tell it in this season, the power of God comes over that situation. Amen. I believe we will witness our hand to those overwhelming situation. Amen. The Christmas story rejects the idea that generally that's what we all think, that we need wealth, influence, platform to make a difference. No, not necessarily. All we need is a grace, the favor, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to rest upon us, rest upon our skill, rest upon our talent, rest upon the various opportunity that God has given us. This morning, I say to you, God sees you where you are. He loves you. And he wants to partner with you to make his program and agenda come to pass on the earth. And lastly, this morning, the Christmas story is heaven's entrance into a dusty and dirty world. The Christmas story is actually heaven's entrance into our dusty and dirty world. Dirty world. Things are difficult for people. I mean, going out yesterday, we saw it. Things are pretty difficult for people. But hey, God is just waiting to use you and I as a platform to bring ray of hope in the heart of many people. Because with God, nothing shall be impossible. As we celebrate this Christmas, I want us to tell the story. Tell it with our giving. Sharing a meal with someone. Tell it with just saying thank you to someone. Tell it. Just be sensitive to someone. They may not even need anything. Tell it with our smiles. Tell it with our compassion. Tell it with our kindness of heart. Tell it with our ability to listen, ability to just pray for someone. The Christmas story helps us to understand and put the things of God in perspective. Today, we can tell it, God is for us. God is with us. God is in us. The Christmas story also helps us to learn how to trust God. Peradventure, you know anyone who has been waiting on God, who has the promises of God yet unfulfilled. You can tell the story that God is surely with them, is in them, is for them, and those things will surely come to pass. The Christmas story helps us to understand that this is a dry and thirsty world wherein there is no water, and there is a water of life that we can offer someone. Jesus, the Savior of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. This Christmas story, we can tell it. God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world may be saved through him. Can we bow down our heads as we pray this morning? I don't appreciate the fact that people are walking around while I was still preaching. Can we bow our heads? Bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. Can you just talk to the Lord this morning? Let's talk to the Lord. 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 God help us in our world. There is a world. The world is in need of Jesus today. Help us to tell this story. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. You know that song? Can we sing it together? Jesus is the answer for the world today.
Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. No other. Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the answer
for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,